Hello and welcome back to the Creative Work Hour podcast. It is episode 56 and we're talking about creative rituals. Today is June the 22nd, 2025. And in the room today, you have myself, Greg. We have Alessandra, Devon, Gretchen, Michael, Bobby B, and Shadows Pub. We were talking just before we came on air, Alessandra and I, about creative rituals. Alessandra, this got us really kind of talking about creative rituals because I didn't think I had any.
Well, creative rituals are one of those things that can seem mysterious. And we may think if it's like not very exciting, that it's not a thing. Like starting your day with coffee or going outside and taking a run at 5:30 in the morning, like Michael does sometimes. Or it could be something very simple. Like I remember as a young founder to Creative Work Hour, my ritual, basically to calm myself down, knowing that I really didn't know what I was doing, is I would turn the bathroom lights off and slip into a warm bubble bath complete with duckies. And I would just sit there. This was not a functional bathy. No, I would just sit there and think this thought. What is it that my creative friends might need just on an energy level? What is it that they might need when we come together in 30 minutes or so when I'm dry and in front of the laptop again? What might they need? And that was my creative ritual. And it did two things. One, it ignited a sensitivity of how to really listen and look at people that I care about to see how they're doing. And it displaced my own anxiety about feeling that I didn't know what I was doing. And so it helped all of us, that very simple creative ritual, though I didn't realize that's what it was at a time. So when we say creative rituals, we think of something that's really exciting. Like what I was thinking of as I was coming out of a creative ritual today, right before Creative Work Hour and recording this episode 56 of our Creative Work Hour podcast, I was thinking, oh, you know, there are exciting ones. Like there are rituals to say, not that I am one to really make a sports analogy, but I think this is right on target. That movie Bull Durham, you remember, it has Kevin Costner and Tim Robbins in it. And the Tim Robbins character, LaRouche, was trying to break the baseball team, their losing streak. And so he did something, a ritual, that was, well, he was in the locker room and getting ready to go out for the game. And everybody in the locker room turns and looks at LaRouche, who is putting on a pair of white women's lingerie, you know, the ones we call knickers. And Kevin Costner turns around, looks at him dead on and says, "The rose goes in the front, big guy." And I'm like, boom, that's a creative ritual. Okay, so that's exciting. But maybe you don't really think that your coffee has particular importance. And then, Greg, what were you mentioning to me? There was a word we were trying to think of in our conversation directly before we came together to make this recording. What was that word we were looking for?
Metronome.
Yes. And I was like, oh my God, that's so brilliant. Because as a musician, when I get stuck or I become apprehensive about practicing, I need pixie dust. I need a rose in the front. And when you said metronome, all of a sudden I realized, you know, as creatives, we don't have to be the God that creates the first heartbeat. We don't have to work some magic spell to remove the blank flashing cursor off the screen. All we have to do is step into the warm bath of what's already happening. All we have to do is join the metronome that's already going. Just pick a moment. So here is my artistic example of just joining the moment. Agnes Martin, the famous artist, she walked every day as an artist. She also walked every day as someone who lived with schizophrenia. And she lived a big life, and she worked in large scale. And this is how she started her metronome every day, her creative ritual every day. She would go before her industrial-sized canvas with a folding chair, and she would take a seat, and she would stare at the thing. No rose in the front. She just sat until the creative energy that was already in the air, in the universe, in the woo-woo, tapped her on the shoulder and she could stand up and draw a line. For you, Greg, what is that metronome?
Well, I used to be in a marching band with the Army Cadets. One of the instruments that I played early on was the big bass drum. And if you're not familiar with that, the big bass drum sets the pace for everyone to march to, left, right, left, right. And we had a lot of marching songs as well. But, you know, like, you know, the house was there when I left. The kids were there when I left. My wife was there when I left. Left, right, left. And there's lots of them. And some of them are not safe for work. But I sometimes find myself doing that in my head, you know, getting that kind of flow, which I realize could be a creative ritual, right? If we're going to go down the river, we don't stop the river. We kind of jump in with the flow. And it ties into that whole flow. We have our routines on Creative Work Hour, right? We come on. If you do a cup of joe, we say how we're doing. How was your day? You know, how about this politician? And this is good and that's bad. And then we do, you know, check in, right? What are you going to work on? And then there's a meditation. And then what's been missing is the little beep, the little bell, right? Which I just realized you've been holding out on us, Alessandra. And so that's, you know, that's a creative ritual as well. And so for me, I realized that the big bass drum, the marching songs, it's a pace, right? Some people chant, you know, they do the monk chant, it's the same thing, or they repeat things. It's like the skipping ropes, right? They're holding the two ropes and they're going round and the person is waiting for the right time to jump right in so they don't break their neck and they jump in at the right time. And so, yeah, for me, that could be a creative ritual. But how about you? Do you have any creative rituals or have you heard of any? I've got a Devon, creative rituals, Devon.
So many. Everything has to be just so. I have to have a fresh bottle of water, a fresh cup of coffee. I have to have just read a certain amount because my creative output is usually writing. And so I have to have done my reading first and have words in my head. And then I have to have all the objects on my desk, all my little talismans, my journals. Everything has to be in its place. And then when everything is just perfect, then I start to try and create. And I think sometimes all of that can hold me back because I say, oh, I couldn't possibly write today. Look at that. My pen is at a 45 degree angle to my journal. It's all gone. No way I can do anything today. But when the stars do align, I do find it's easier to slip into that flow and meet my muse and get something going. So yeah, there's a lot of ritual.
Thank you, Devon. Shadows, how about you? Do you have any creative rituals or any that you know of that people do?
I don't have anything I consider to be a creative ritual. But since you guys asked, I went to our little buddy ChatGPT and asked, you know, unusual creative rituals. I got a list of 10, and two of them caught my eye. The choreographer, Twyla Tharp, she starts her creative day by taking a cab to the gym because for her, hailing the cab is commitment to the day. And Beethoven, he takes coffee to another level. He insisted on 60 coffee beans per cup counted by hand in order for him to be able to start his creative day. So those were two that caught my hand.
I wonder what would happen if it had 61 instead of 60.
It's the day screwed.
We'll never know. We'll never know. Gretchen, how about you? Creative rituals, do you have any? Or what have you heard?
Well, yeah, I do. Before I do my live show, my garbage can has to be empty. There's like a checklist of kind of things you do to get ready to go live on YouTube or go live things. But one of the things that if I don't get it done, I mean, I'm like, sometimes I'm running out the door with my garbage can in my hand and to go dump it and come back in just before I hit go live so that it can be cleaned up. And if I had to clean my desk, seriously, only time I had a clean desk was when I had a student who thought that that was a fun thing to do. And I would let them do it as I was, you know, like, go ahead, organize my desk. Yay. Keep that 6-year-old busy for a while. But because I came when we had this discussion and we had this post to us, it came to me in my writing this morning that sometimes a creative ritual that we will call it a ritual is really a creative block in disguise. And we claim it to be a ritual and claim it to be this, and I can't do this unless I have that. And what would really happen if we actually stepped in and tried to do it if things weren't perfect, if things weren't just the way, if we hadn't met those. So there's that trick that our saboteur, our inner saboteur, does to us. And we forget that. And what I use, and this comes from a very good friend of mine that was a very wonderful metaphysical teacher. She said, there are angels out there for every little thing that you want. There's a parking lot angel. There's a parking space angel. There's a sleep angel. There's all this, and they're just waiting for you to ask them to come help. And so I have really started to try that, because I do a whole lot of different kind of creative things. I'll paint, I'll draw my photography stuff, but I will throw a lot of roadblocks up on myself to not fail at that and call it, oh, I can't do it because. So instead, I'm not letting that inner saboteur get to me. I'm calling in the creative angel, or, I think I'm going to try getting the cleanup angel and the creative angel to work together, see if that will work, and do that, and call me and say, I really need your help. I need you to block everybody else out and just let this go. So the garbage can and the creative angel. What do you say?
Thanks, Gretchen. I'm still waiting for the lottery angel, but she's not come around yet. So we'll keep hope on that. Michael, how about yourself? Creative rituals. Do you have any, or what ones have you heard of?
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I was reflecting as I was listening to the others, and Branchon mentioned like the live streams, and I was doing live streams for a while, and I would always start them at 5:12 p.m. or going live at 12:12 p.m. And this was sort of a bit of a shout out to my mother, my dearly departed mother, who would always call me often. Oh, Michael dear, it's 11:11. I just wanted to say hi. There's something about the repetition there, which was special, and it's still an inside joke with me and my wife. We often text each other at 11:11. But when I was doing the live stream, I would start at 5:12, or I would, new episodes would go live at 12:12 p.m. And there was just something a bit off kilter about that. It's not like it's too easy if you say I'm going to start at like 5 o'clock, right? Oh, 5:02, 5:03, and then suddenly it's 10 after, and you're doing something else, and you got distracted. Oh, whoops! It's like, oh, no big deal. There's something about the off kilterness of the 12. I mean, really, like for me, it was like, I guess having that radio on air light that's going blinking now, and it's like pointing at you, like go now, like. The conductor is raising his baton. There's something about that fixed time when something is going to happen, whether you create that for yourself or whether it's externally sort of, imposed through a group, or, the creative work hour starts at 10 o'clock, or, there's you show up and with whatever you got, whether your pen is not working or working, or you're not wearing your favorite t-shirt, whatever it is, well, it's too bad. Now here's the time to go now. So you better go now, live. Back to you, Greg.
Thank you, Michael. You were talking about the sign coming on, and I don't know if you've got Krispy Kreme donuts or heard of Krispy Kreme donuts, but they have a sign that they put on, and it's a red sign. And when the donuts are fresh and they're just getting made, they put the sign on, and then people flock, like they come out of the woodwork and stuff like that. But Devin, I see you with your hand raised.
Just what Gretchen Michael was saying reminded me. I take classical guitar, and musicians have a built-in routine of warming up and playing scales and doing all the things to get your fingers or your armature loose and getting ready to play and work on the piece you're working on. And my instructor tells me every now and then, you got to do a cold practice. You just got to sit down, pick up your instrument, and start playing what you're working on, because that's how it's going to be when you perform it. The audience isn't going to wait for you to play your scales before you start playing what they're there to hear. So sometimes you got to build in a cold open and just start playing what you're playing, and then you can do your scales later.
Thanks, Devin. I know Michael didn't mention it, but I think croissants certainly make part of his creative routine there. But he skipped out on that. That's a different podcast, right? Bobby B, how about you? Creative rituals, do you have any? Do you have you heard of any unusual ones?
Well, I certainly do, and I'm definitely, others have alluded to this, that we're not talking about diversions or reclamations of creativity, but just, the way we turn the engine over in a regular basis. And for me, I typically write and create first thing in the morning. So I'll open up some games, online, and I'll play them and let that kind of get things going. Sometimes 30 seconds in, it's like I'm ready, just close it. Doesn't even matter if you finish. Other times I'll be here for a while, but that to me is the most regular way of turning the engine over, seeing how it sputters, and then as quickly as it hums, well, then it's time to get going.
Thanks, Bobby. Alessandra, pretty good discussion there. What do you got for us in closing?
I'll give you $5 if you'll sing one of those songs that are not appropriate for work. No, I'll do it later. Oh my God, that's so good. But I do. I love the thing of that conversations that we have together here, whether they are recorded for the podcast or whether they're just, during our 15 minutes of hanging out together that we call the Cup of Joe before the live daily creative work hour happens, that one person can say something like, what's the word for that? And then the communal retrieving of the word we were looking for can just lead to an insight or lead to a new creative ritual. So I think that you have solved a problem with my getting started with the actual practicing, not pulling up the music, not making the music stand stable, not getting the Fourscore app to respond correctly to my edits, but just get a metronome going and join in. It can just be that simple. Like Gretchen said, don't let it be robbed from you by some, is it agent provocateur? No, that's alluding to the rose goes in the front big guy. So what time is it now though, Greg?
It's that time again. You've wasted some perfectly good time listening to the Creative Work Hour podcast when you could have been doing something else. But how about you? Do you have any creative rituals or routines? Let us know. You can visit us on creativeworkhour.com. Come back next week and we'll have another discussion again. Thank you.